Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact deacons at christchurchbranchcove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
Our text this morning from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Elijah was a man with like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our Father and God, your name is excellent in all the earth. Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, the eternal Son of the living God, we thank you that you are one with the Father. We thank you that your presence is with us in the sending of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that your Spirit dwells within us and among us, and that we have been made partakers of the divine nature through you who have called us by glory and virtue. May we now receive this word, may we hear, and may we be inflamed with the power that comes from you, our Lord God and King. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Before beginning in the sermon, I want to say a great and deeply felt thanks to this church. You have been gracious to me and to my family over the last, almost the last year. The first time I preached here was last May. And so it has been a blessing to be with you. We are continuing in prayer that the Lord would guide you as a congregation, and that he would send the person who is appropriately suited to this church. And we would also appreciate your prayers on our behalf as we embark on a trip that we honestly did not foresee. But we're thankful for how the Lord has led us, and we trust that he would continue to lead us and will lead you as well. There's a prevalent idea that walking in faith means you are totally confident of what you are doing. We think that real faith means you have absolute assurance that what you're doing is the right thing to do, it's the right way to go, and that you are exactly where you need to be. After all, when do we read about God's children, God's prophets, having doubts in Scripture? When Peter was getting up to preach at Pentecost, it doesn't say, and he struggled with fear and then preached this wonderful sermon. When we read of Moses, we do know some of his weaknesses, but still, when he was standing before the Red Sea, it didn't say Moses had a lingering doubt in the back of his mind, but yet he still put his staff over the water and it parted. It doesn't say that. So we read about these godly men and godly women who do great things, and it doesn't say that they struggled with fear, so we automatically assume, I'm not that person. Because I know me, and I know what goes through my mind when it's time to act in faith. I'm somewhere between chicken and a coward at times. Now, it's great to have a strong feeling, a strong sense of direction and understanding. This is the way. Walk therein. We love that. Who wouldn't love that? But if we don't read carefully in Scripture, we can miss the fact that these men and women that we look up to, rightfully so, but yet these people struggled as well. They were human. Elijah walked in faith, praying to God despite his sinful nature, not in the absence of a sinful nature. These verses come in the context of James closing his epistle, speaking of the importance of to the people of remaining patient in the midst of affliction and persecution. He began by exhorting them to be patient, to let patience have its perfect work in chapter 1. He goes on to tell them to continue in faith, to not give in to the thought that you can have faith merely in your mind, but that you must walk in faith. And then he talks about the importance of loving others, and sometimes loving others takes faith. But he comes back to this again at the end of his epistle, the importance of being patient and even encouraging one another to be patient, exhorting one another to be patient. He speaks of those who are afflicted and who are under great trial. He says that they should pray. If they're sick, you should anoint them with oil. And he says that the prayer of faith will save the sick. And that doesn't mean necessarily that the prayer of faith is going to raise up everyone off of their sick bed. No matter what you see on television, that doesn't happen all the time. And then he says we are even called to confess our faults. So these verses are in the context of living with one another in the body. It's not me and my Bible and my family and we're going to take on the world. It's the body of Christ walking together and being a light to the world. That is the context of these verses. But I still want to focus on verses 17 and 18. And I want us to see what it means looking at some of the life of Elijah to walk in faith. Number one, we should see that our weaknesses don't prevent us from walking in faith. Our weaknesses don't keep us from that. The very first part of verse 17 says that Elijah was a man with like passions as we are. What does that mean? That means he faced temptation. He faced emotions that welled up inside that were very strong at times. Have you ever thought, I am all alone? No one knows what I'm facing right now. Nobody. No one has ever faced this before. That is a common thought. And we know that Elijah at times, one time he told the Lord, all the prophets have been killed and it's just me. I'm the last faithful. You talk about someone who's amillennial for a little bit. He was. He thought, I am the remnant. It's me. And what did the Lord say? There are still 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Now, come on. What do you think Elijah's next thought was? Could I please meet a couple? I mean, if there's 7,000, at least, you know, one or two. But the Lord had them there. And if you read on, you'll see where some of them were. One servant who worked in the palace, who worked for Ahab, was hiding the prophets. Thankfully, Ahab didn't drain the swamp too far because some of God's servants were there, right there in the midst of the government, protecting the prophets. But Elijah still faced trial within himself. The Lord knows what you go through. And His Word records people who have struggled with similar things. And I'm not saying this to oppress you, but rather I want you to understand, we can think, I'm not equipped to walk in faith because I don't feel like a faith-filled person. I don't feel like a faith-filled person. My nature is too low. I struggle too much. I cannot see the light to walk one more step. I am too weak to walk in faith. Consider how depressed one would have to be to say, Lord, please take my life. Elijah did. He said, Lord, please take me. That's low. Now granted, he was being pursued by probably the wickedest queen who ever lived at the time, who said she was going to kill him. So, you know, it looked like he was going to go one way or the other. Better for the Lord to do it than for Jezebel. But still, that's discouraged. How would you react if you had to live in a desert and you were fed by scavenger birds? I mean, we like going to a place where we are served. Okay? That's nice. However, being served by vultures is not ideal. But being served by animals that come and bring, I mean, look, it's not like they cook the stuff to a nice, you know, nutty flavor or anything, okay? This is not great cuisine. It's food. It's sustenance. But it's not probably in the best shape. Yet, Elijah was alone and he was still called by God to be God's messenger. Rather than to discourage us, I hope that you can be encouraged that if God can use Elijah, who had a fleshly nature, who was fallen, who sinned, He can use you. Elijah was not a superman. Elijah was a saint, a child of God, set apart for His service. And if you have been baptized, you are set apart for the service of Almighty God. So you should trust Him and pray that He will use you also. We don't have to reach a certain level of achievement before we can serve God faithfully, because He has already supplied your weaknesses. Does it not bless you to know that your weaknesses don't discourage your Heavenly Father? When He looks at you, He doesn't say, my goodness, what did I do? Boy, I must have been having an... No, He doesn't. Not at all. When He looks at you, He says, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. This is one that I created. Behold, I have formed you. Your name is written on the palms of my hands, He told the prophet Isaiah, and that is to the saints. He is not discouraged at all looking at you. Therefore, you should not be discouraged when you look in the mirror. Now, we could take this too far. We could, you know, I've known some people who look in the mirror and they're pretty impressed with what they see. I'm not saying we should do that either. Okay? But when you think, I'm unqualified to serve the Father, that's a lie. And if you ask me after the service, I'll tell you where the lie came from. Because it's not from the Lord. The Lord has allowed your weaknesses to be exactly what they are, and yet He has given you still everything you need to walk faithfully before Him. Number two, we must walk in faith despite our feelings and not because of them. We walk in faith despite our feelings. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 3 through 7. This is when Elijah had spoken to Ahab, and he had already said it would not rain, referring to the story that we read in James. Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself. This is the Lord speaking. By the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Do you think that Elijah felt positive and confident about what he was doing? He just told Ahab it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. We read how Elijah, as well as other prophets, became discouraged. Yet, despite their discouragement, it's not just that they believed they could walk in faith. They did walk. They continued walking in faith. They continued speaking in faith, despite how they felt. They continued praying. They continued proclaiming God's word. They continued obeying what he said. Because you see, faith is believing and walking according to God's promises regardless of my feelings or outward circumstances. I'll say that one more time. Faith is believing and walking according to God's promises regardless of my feelings or outward circumstances. You may say, I don't feel very strong. But that's not the point. Paul did not say we walk by feelings and not by sight. The author of Hebrews did not say without good feelings it is impossible to please God, because whoever comes to God must feel like he is close to you. That's not what the Scripture says. We must get rid of the idea that internal feelings are the basis for my relationship to the Father, because they are not. If feelings were what counted, Elijah would probably have never been a good prophet, David would have been a terrible king, and Peter would have been an awful minister. Many times we feel tired, disillusioned, weary, fearful, and those are on some of the good days. Does that change what God has said? Never. Does that change who you are in Christ? Never. This is why faith and faithfulness are so closely linked in Scripture. It is impossible to have living faith apart from displaying it in outward actions of obedience to God. When we hear verses like those found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, his strength rests upon me, a lot of times we think that that means when I'm at my weakest, that the Lord will give me an internal sense of feeling better. Or when we read that the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds, we think kind of somewhat the opposite. We think that my feelings have to guard the peace of God. Not true. It is not based on whether I feel like everything in God's Word is in place and it is true. And that, by the way, I'm not speaking against, I'm not criticizing those times when we do have greater assurance, when we do feel like we are strong in the Lord. I don't mean to disparage that in any way, because that is a blessing, it's a gift, and we should be thankful for it. But we are not promised assurance during our weakest times, but rather we are promised God's grace and strength in our weakest times. There are times when you don't know what lies one step ahead. But that does not mean that you can lie still. Rather, keep on walking and holding to God's
truth. No matter what. Number three, faith calls God's Word back to Him. Faith calls God's Word back to Him. The last part of James 5:17, it said that Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth, but by the space of 3 years and 6 months. It is interesting to note that we have no record of Elijah's actual prayer to God that it would not rain. But from what James said, we know it must have been some kind of prayer. And we know this because of the words that James uses. He's referring to a phrase that the Hebrews had that says, "He prayed in prayer," which is translated, "He prayed earnestly." He prayed fervently. The commentator John Gill says of this prayer, quote, "A praying not merely externally or formally and with the lip only, but with the spirit and with understanding and when the heart engaged in it with inwrought prayer. The prophet prayed with much earnestness, with great vehemence, and with intenseness of spirit, as this saying denotes. His prayer was fervent, it was constant and importunate, and it continued and was continued till he had an answer," end quote. When we think of Elijah, sometimes we don't think of someone who is a mighty man of prayer, but rather of a prophet. We think Elijah was a great prophet who accomplished great things for God, but no man or woman will be used mightily of God unless he or she is constant in prayer. We can be tempted to think that, you know, certain people are gifted in prayer, but not me, because I struggle to pray for very long. Maybe you've woken up early and you said, "I'm going to pray. I'm going to give myself to prayer this morning." And you start out and you are going well. And you pray for everyone on your list. You start at 6 o'clock in the morning and you pray for everyone and you're feeling good. And you look at the clock and it's 6:03. You say, "What now?" You don't say it out loud, but you say to yourself, "What now?" And you think of Elijah and you think of the prophets and you say to yourself, "I'm really glad I'm not in a prayer meeting with any of them, because I would be embarrassed." That's how many believers look at their own prayer life. And you know what? At that point, we can say, "Okay, I'm going to probably meditate." So we just take Scripture and we start thinking about that. And then that goes awry shortly after. And we say, "You know, I really wish I could be like the other people who do this a lot better than I." So then we go on. I wonder if anybody's posted anything good on Facebook at 6:10 this morning. Okay? And that's the end of it. But you know what? As great as books on prayer are, and I love them, there are some great books on prayer, there are some great books on meditation, it's one of those things, it's like tying your shoe or riding a bike. You don't learn, you don't mature in these areas by reading about it or by watching other people do it. As good as that is, you grow by practicing it. So even though you may say, "I can't pray. I don't feel confident in my prayer." Does that mean we don't pray? Just because I don't feel like this is going to happen, I don't feel like there are going to be the proper results. No. Jesus gave a parable about that. About the importance in Luke chapter 18, the importance of being consistent, like that widow was consistent in going to that judge. Now, if you read on further in the book of 1 Kings into chapter 18, you would read about Elijah praying again.
as he says in verse 18 of James 5, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit. So he prayed once, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. But then he prayed again. Elijah, now, when you read 1 Kings 18, 41 through 44, Elijah prayed. It said he put his head between his knees, and then he told his servant, go look and see. Tell me if you see anything. And his servant went out. Now imagine, great prophet. He's prayed, Lord, send rain. And the servant came back, and he said, Elijah. And the prophet looked up. You can see this. The prophet looked up, and he has hope. He has expectation. And the servant says, there's nothing out there. It is still dry, not a cloud in the sky. Scripture says that happened 7 times. I would have been discouraged after probably time 2. You pray earnestly, you pray fervently, you pray with strength, and then you send someone out to look, and it's just as clear as it was a little bit ago. It looks no different than it has looked for the last 3.5 years. No change. And you pray. And still nothing happens. At what point do you say, this is not working? There are times when we are praying for one another, times when we are praying for requests for other churches, for this church, for our local leaders, for our elders, for our state leaders in politics, and for our children and our grandchildren. Oh, you pray for all these different things. And we pray and the Lord doesn't answer, and you can say, why? Why is this not happening? Why do I not see the results that I want to see from this prayer? And our flesh screams at us to quit. I mean, you have the accuser on the outside who's saying, you know how foolish you are right now. And then you have your own flesh saying, do you know how foolish this looks to other people? Do you know how bad it is, how pathetic it is for you to pray and nothing happens? And you give yourself to this and it's useless. And if you're not careful, you'll start to believe that. But rest assured, your flesh will lie to you. And you can believe the devil will lie to you. Our hope cannot rest in what we see with our eyes, but what God has said. And do not put your hope in anything other than what God Himself has said. I mean, you could say, well, Elijah was told to pray by God. Elijah knew his prayer was going to come to pass. Actually, Elijah prayed. And he was praying when he prayed that it would not rain. He was praying the curse that the Lord had already promised in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 23 and 24. Elijah prayed what God had already spoken. These are the verses. Heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Elijah prayed the word of God to God. He prayed what God had already said. Don't think, as again, we can be tempted to. We can say, well, you know, in the old covenant, those prophets, they had special revelation from God. God Himself came to them. The only voices I ever hear when I'm in the quietness of my own house are not voices that are good. Not voices that, you know. But We have something greater. Jesus himself said, as great a man as John the Baptist was, and John the Baptist was the last prophet of the old covenant to the saints before Christ. As great as John the Baptist was, Jesus said that one who believes, one who comes in the kingdom of heaven after John the Baptist will be greater than John. Why? Because we have the full revelation of Almighty God. If you say to yourself, I don't know what the will of God is. Yes, you do. You have it. You possess it. It's the inspired Word of God. And that, when you question, what do I pray? One great thing that we can learn is to pray God's Word. And a lot of times we're not used to that. We worry about coming up with new and creative ways of saying things, and then, I mean, we're humans. How creative can we be? I mean, even if you ask a person to name random numbers between 1 and 100, do you know how long it will be before they name the same number? It'll be pretty soon. Pretty quick. You ought to try that sometime. We don't think outside the box very well, and that's all right. But you know why? Because we've been given the Word of God to pray. That's greater than any human word we can come up with on our own. We have the Word to pray, just as Elijah did. The outworking of praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, is that we pray for God to accomplish what He has said He will accomplish. We should be confident in prayer, because in prayer, that's when we are supposed to call God's Word back to Him. We remind Him of what He said He would do. Look at the prayers of Jesus. Jesus, over and over, when He prayed, He asked the Father to accomplish what He had already said He was going to accomplish. And you may say, why? Why pray something that He's already said He's going to do? Well, that's just like praying for someone's salvation, even though we know that the Lord has already determined who the elect are before the foundation of the world. So does that mean there's any point in praying? Well, of course there is. Because not only has He ordained what will happen, as we confess this morning, He has also ordained the means by which it will happen. And one of those means is through the prayers of the saints. So, just because we have God's Word, does that mean we will not struggle with unbelief? And of course we will struggle with unbelief. There's going to be struggle. This life is a life where we battle towards maturity. But we don't battle alone. We don't battle by ourselves. It's not like I have to lay hold of the Spirit myself. No, the Spirit dwells in you. This, when you labor, any laboring that you do is the labor of the Spirit of God working in you to display His glory. So the Lord is working in you. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that he was thankful that he said, I labored more abundantly than you all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Same thing is for you. Whatever struggle you are able to overcome, whatever you are able to do, you can rest in the fact that the Spirit of God is the one working in you to accomplish those things. So yes, we will struggle at times with unbelief, but we don't lay down and say, I'm just going to wait until this passes. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to lay down. I'm going to hope that it gets over with really soon. No, we continue holding to the lamp of God's Word even when we can't see the next step in front of us. Remembering that His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. What does it mean to walk by faith? It means being obedient to what God has said and holding to His Word, holding His Word before Him in prayer, regardless of our internal feelings or outward pressures. Our struggles do not change what God has spoken. The enemy will tell you at times that your weaknesses have rendered you useless to the kingdom. But do not be deceived. Elijah was a man with similar struggles as we are, yet he was used mightily of God. Don't judge yourself to be any less a vessel of the pleasure of God than he was. Let's pray. Our Father, we acknowledge apart from you we are nothing. But we thank you that because of your grace and mercy revealed to us through Christ Jesus our Lord and the gift of your Spirit, we are able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we may ask or think. That you can use us, and we thank you that you have used us and that you will use us. Where we are in sin, please convict us. Where we are in error, bring it to our mind. And cause us to indeed walk in faith, just as your servant Elijah did. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church, Branch Cove.org.